friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, this is My Perfect Romance, and we are here today with Scarlett Xavier. I'm just going to quickly introduce you, and then I'm going to give you the floor. So Scarlett Xavier is an erotic romance indie author best known for Irish Fire and Forbidden Love as part of the Celtic Men series. She can be found on Instagram, and her newest book in the series, Welsh Tides of Change, November 20th, 2025. She was so kind to share that with us.
Yes, and so sweet.
That's kind of going to be the focus of what we're talking about today. And so just to give you an idea about this book, Emily, the main character, Emily is a shy, hardworking young adult who's working overseas for a prolonged work trip. And despite the fact that she's committed to someone else, she falls instantly in love with Rhys, a Welsh man who is committed to cleaning the ocean too. And he's instantly attracted to her, too. But his jealous ex-girlfriend is determined to destroy their budding romance at any cost. So, yeah, that's a great synopsis. I think that summed it up really, really well.
Yeah, me too.
So I just kind of wanted to start off, like, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey with writing. How long did you spend writing and editing and all that good stuff? What is that like?
Yeah. Wow. So I've always been a writer, even as a kid, but my genres have definitely completely shifted. As a kid, I was like doing adventure stories, you know, the main female character, you know, fighting and getting in and saving the day.
I love that.
And then, later I went into horror, and I still do write horror and thriller, but that's through my, just my normal name, Elizabeth Suggs. My Scarlett Xavier is just through this erotic or steamy romance. And I've had a lot of fun.
It is steamy. Very good steamy.
I know. We rate the steaminess of all of the romance novels.
Yes, yours is very
steamy.
And we
say habanero.
Yes.
Yeah, we all agree.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm interested, what shifted for you? What made you interested in erotic romance?
Yeah. Well, so I was always kind of hinting at it. I noticed that, so I do a lot of chats with different authors and try to help them get inspired. And one of the things I'll say when they're kind of stuck or they're having an issue, I'd be like, no, you should add some romance. I think it'd be really good. And I never really thought about like why I was a horror writer, but I was like, no. You need more romance in your story. And so I was like, well, okay, you know, so I never really thought about it. And then my publisher, Last Chapter Press, this contest. And I didn't know who they were. I actually had a friend who was published through them as well. And then they told me about that. So I went on and I submitted a story. And it was actually Welsh Tides of Change. It kind of went backwards. But so they liked that. It got second place. And even though I didn't get first place, they still were like, oh, no, we can, you know, because I asked them, I was like, hey, can I expand this series, make like a Celtic theme? And they're like, yeah, that sounds great. So even though the Welsh one was written first, it was the Irish Fire. And then it went to Scottish Legends and Lost Loves and then English Healing. And that one is, yeah, so those all just came out. I found that I really struggle with novel, like 50 to like a 300 page book, you know, like a 200 to 300 page book. And I'm trying to shift that. I'm trying to get better and do that. But I've noticed that I was doing these novellas where they're about like 100 to 150 pages, you know, kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that those are super easy. And I noticed like, even though I was struggling with horror and only being able to get like a short story here or there, the moment I started doing romance, like specifically steamy romance, it like, I don't know what happened. I can just, the words just flood out. So I'm like, oh, this is good.
Yeah. So I am so interested to know how you write those steamy scenes. I mean, they are steamy.
So
I was excited. Yeah, I was so excited.
I have to like, honey, let's practice tonight.
Yeah, no, yeah. What, how can I bend that way? No, I and the thing is I aimed it down.
Then what is, it could have been a ghost pepper?
Oh, yeah, I took out a sex scene, actually, at the end, because the publisher was just kind of like, this is filling.
Oh, yeah, you know, okay, that would be a great thing for you to put, like, on your media, is like the deleted scene. An insider scoop: if people follow you, they get the ooh la la juicy.
They get the extra sex scene.
So they actually, so I have a Patreon, and that's like a one of the monthly things. Well, it's whenever I have it, right? But that is one of the things that I'll share along with, like, personal, you know, like stories of like things that you want to do with, like, either just like some random man, and then I'll just like make it and stuff. So it's like fun little extra scenes. But
okay,
very cool.
So you are involved in some writing groups. You're involved in Patreon. So tell us, like, for this book specifically, like, what was the process like? Do you sit down, have your morning cup of coffee, and then do some meditation and then get into it? Or, like, what's your writing process? What does that look like? Are you in a closet? Are you at the park?
I don't think this girl's in a closet.
Well, Stephen King is in a closet. I don't know if you know that. But
I think a closet would be interesting. No. So usually what I do, because sometimes I have to work in the morning, and so I have to juggle that to make sure. Because I do try to hit a certain amount of words per day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like my little goal every day. But what I'll try to do is I do in the morning, and I actually have green tea, and I, you know, I'll sit down and I'll write. Sometimes I lay down and write because I'm a weirdo. And then if I don't get enough words done, then I do it later and like during lunch or in the evening. But it's mostly that I have to have like this green tea, because I do struggle with ADHD. But if I do these like certain weird things and I put certain music on, like, it like puts me in that mode.
Yeah. You get in the zone that way. Yeah.
It signals your, I struggle with that too. And so it's always kind of, well, yeah, you're among
you're
friends.
You're
in good company. Rituals are so important.
They are.
It
well,
changes
and it's
your
so hard. Like, I
need to a superpower.
Exactly. Yeah, because I mean, during the November month is usually the writing month where you try to write 50 plus thousand words. It's about like the size of a book. And I've been trying to do that. And I have been pretty successful. But it's, you do a lot of community events where you like go to places, and that's kind of hard for me because it's out of my ritual, so that I'm not as like focused. So I put timers. So sometimes if I really struggle, I'll like start a timer for 20 minutes and be like, I have to do this. You can't look at your phone. And it's literally just like lifting weights or something. Like, it's as hard, I feel like, sometimes. But then you do it, you get in the zone, and then
you're
happy after.
Yeah. What about editing? Did you have anybody that you work with on editing, or what's your editing ritual like? Because, I mean, they say that writing is only a small part of writing. It's mostly in the editing.
Yeah, I actually like editing. So editing is, so I'm an editor too. And that's the part where I really come to life, because sometimes I really struggle with certain plot points. If I'm like trying to hit a certain word count, I'm like, I feel like I'm pushing through sludge. But then once I get to the editing point, it's like, oh, I already know what's happening. I mean, that sounds like I should be a plotter. I know. I don't know. I don't plot very well. But so I really like the editing, so I don't mind it. And I'll do that over and over again. And then I send it over to a friend or two and who are also editors, which is really helpful. And then I send it over to the publisher, who then like will have other edits for me too. So It's definitely more of an enjoyable process for me than I think other people feel. Some people hate editing, and I am like, oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah, that's where the real hard work comes in for sure.
Yeah.
Tell us about like getting lined up with a publisher or maybe an agent or however, like, what was that process like for you?
Yeah, so that was, so once I did the that contest with the publisher, and they were like, oh, this is really great. We really want to see this. That was really exciting. And then, you know, getting the contract was really exciting. So I didn't actually go through, I think, and I'm super happy that I have my publisher, and I'm really grateful for how it happened. It felt like I have this really easy into it. But I do think that most of the time people should just go directly to agents and not go to the publisher. First, because sometimes you can kind of bypass the agent, and sometimes that feels a little bit easier than trying to get that agent to like then go, you know, that next step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But agents will read the contracts. And I don't think my publisher did anything weird or shady, but it would have been nice to have someone else who could read the contract and be like, oh, well, you know, you should do this thing. So that's the only thing is that it was kind of scary. I'm like, well, I hope I'm not doing anything crazy. Like, it's all been fine and great, you know.
Not normal. Yeah. Yeah. Did I just give away my firstborn child? Because your books are kind of like your firstborn children.
Yeah.
They are.
Exactly.
Yeah. For sure.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit more specific questions about your current book.
About
Welsh Ties of Chains. Yeah. When the characters met, they fell instantly in love with each other. Do you believe in love at first sight?
I believe that you can be attracted to someone immediately. You can know immediately. I think love is definitely something that builds. And I know I kind of push it really quickly in these stories. I think it's fun because I grew up with that as like the 90s movies and the early 2000s. They all like fell in love within days. And I don't know.
Right?
I liked that. And no one thought about it like really. But I do think like, I feel like there have been very few moments, but there have been moments in my life where I like will look at someone and be like, wow. Like, I'm instantly attracted to you. But some, you know, it grows through it. Like, I totally think that a slow burn is very amazing, too. So it's not like I only do insta-love, but I definitely did it for this series. And I definitely loved it.
Yeah.
How come you chose Celtic men for your series?
Because they're freaking
Well, I know. But...
Have you seen the covers?
I mean, the idea of a Celtic man is so romantic. Yeah.
Because you want to figure out what's underneath the kilt.
Yep. Yes. Well, so I'm actually part Welsh. My family, my mom was born in Wales. And so I actually was writing a book on my grandpa. And so I moved over to Wales for school for a year in Swansea. And actually got back in 2022. So it's been pretty recent and that it was just kind of still in my, cause I wrote this story this was last year. So it was 2024. So it was kind of like 2 years after, but it was still kind of fresh because I was working on my grandpa's story. And I don't know. I just still like that connection of Wales. And I know this isn't set in Swansea. It's a Southwest Wales. This one's closer to, it's like more Pembrokeshire. And that is, so if you're in Wales, the easiest way to get to Pembrokeshire or like the small little towns over there that's like right on the coast would probably be through to go to Swansea. I mean, maybe there are different ways, like but by train or by car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you, your character in the book, Rhys, has a big piece of property with a cabin that his grandfather or his father built. Right?
Yes, his dad,
is that where that kind of came from? Is your grandfather the idea for that piece of the story?
Well, my great grandparents, my great grandpa lived in North Wales. And he actually lived in it wasn't on the coast, but it was this like cute little cottage in Wrexham. And he built it. And it was just, I don't know. Just kind of, I feel like there's something really magical about having a piece of land that you built yourself or your family has been there for generations and you continue that too. So one day I think it'd be fun to live in Wales and like go back and like permanent, but
it's in your marrow. It sounds like,
well, you're right. It is. Yeah. It is such a romantic idea. You know, I really love that piece of the book where they go to, you know, the cabin and, they're kind of sitting out on the property it is very romantic. Well, then it gets steamy too.
Yeah.
Well, and it's neat that you have this connection to it as a writer. You know, Wales is a personal thing for you and a connection in your soul and in your family. And it's just, wonderful to have that as an experience to kind of incorporate things that you love into your story.
Yeah.
In your history.
That was one thing too. I tried to set the backdrop, like when I was there in Wales, like how it looked for me, or like, you know, there'd be certain phrases they'd say and I like that I'd hear people say that I try to incorporate into the story as well.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And I do that too with the other books. Like I didn't live in Scotland or Ireland or Cornwall, which is my English one, but I have traveled to those places. So I tried to incorporate what does it look like? How do these people talk? Like what's the difference? Cause it's English, but like, they sometimes it like sounds,
Yeah, for sure. I am curious about the characters themselves, especially Reese. I want to know, did you have any real life inspiration?
So there was a guy in Wales.
Look, you look so dreamy right now. I love it.
And I still actually there was a guy in Wales and we really connected and I really liked him. So I was on it's a weird story, but I essentially was on this true crime, a documentary TV thing, like as a reenactor. And it's called Murder by the Sea, Innocent Whales. It's like the season 8, I think. But like some of my episodes are not on, which is annoying because it's this whole thing. But the guy, I met him there and we really hit it off. And like he was so we were like doing this like scene where I had to be this like mistress to like steal him away and he was going to be a murderer or whatever. But like I had to like rub his leg and I had to keep like leaning in, rubbing. And so it was I mean, it was just like his pant, but yeah. I mean, like, it was like this muscular.
I don't know you, but I get to rub your leg and we have chemistry.
Instant.
Yeah, no, I just like, it was really interesting, like how like we both fell into it and we're like, this is really weird, but I really like, is it weird that I like it? And then after that, it got a little bit awkward, like once the cameras were off. But then like after that, then we were like, oh, actually, let's hang out. Let's go on dates and stuff. Yeah. But and we still talk occasionally. It's really fun because I'm still Instagram friends with him. Mm-hmm. But I think I just came to a point where I was like, I need to go back. Like, sometimes there's like these moments where you're like kind of guided, kind of like it's like, oh, no, I have to go back to the U.S. right now. Because my mom needs me. And like, so there was like all these things and it worked out because like, you know, I got this publishing deal and I got this job. Like there was all these different things. Mm-hmm. And I got married to a wonderful, beautiful man who is not Welsh. But there are characteristics of Reese, like how I'm describing him, like his dark eyes and like all this, like the ruggedness. Like that's my husband. So like the guy in Wales is... has white like blonde hair and he's like, I don't know, but anyway. So yeah, there's like mixes of both, but there was a man in Wales.
Came from Reese and the sweetness came from your husband. That's cute.
I love it. When it comes to writing, I mean, you had a lot of dynamic different characters. Was there any character that was particularly difficult to write or?
So sometimes like the bartender, Eliza, was a little bit difficult. And I feel like it was, like, I wanted her there, but I feel like she needed to be, like, this extension. Like, it was, like, we needed to show Emily, like, her friendship. And, like, also Emily's family. I feel like that was a little difficult because there was just a little bit. I feel like I actually do talk about, like, having, like, a bonus epilogue. So I have a bonus epilogue on this newsletter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That kind of has like an extra thing. And then I have like a bonus idea that I might do eventually. And that'd be like talking more about the family.
Yeah.
And then potential for spinoff too for other
exactly.
And things like that. Yeah. How fun.
Well, and then as you're writing and you're editing and you're going from draft one to the final draft, did any of the characters change or they were pretty like you had them well formulated from the beginning?
Well, he's kind of changed. I felt like he was... like, he always kind of stayed sweet and nice. And I do like that. But he was a little bit, in the beginning when I first made him, I made him a little bit more like, it sounds kind of bad, but a little bit more like weak. I don't know why. And I was like, this is not going to work. He needs to be a little bit stronger. So he definitely changed for the better. And Emily, like, I liked seeing her progression too, because she started as more of this like two-dimensional character. Then she became this whole like, full-fledged. And that just like happens for me is like I'll have like an idea, I'll write it down, have my rough super rough draft, mm-hmm. and then like edit through, and as I edit it I really try to take time and be like, okay, let's expand on these characters, how we can like make this scenes really, because like even the sex scenes I try to show like the character development, like how they interact with each other just through those.
Because Emily, for sure, was really shy, but she kind of came alive, you know?
You know, the other thing I really loved about Emily is that I think she has this perception of love and maybe a relationship. And when she truly experiences real love or lust or whatever she's experiencing, she realizes that her relationship with Derek is not okay. Yeah. I mean, it takes also...
The contrast when
he's a philanderer. I mean, he is a philanderer, but she realizes that too.
Yeah, she seems pretty like not in tune with the fact that her husband, boyfriend was philandering left and right and all over the place.
There was some real growth there for her, which was kind of fun to see, and that she kind of rose to the occasion and kind of just, I think she became strong because of it and was able to like let go of him.
And I found it interesting that probably her closest friend was also her boss.
Yeah.
So you have her and she was trying to help her kind of see the reality for what it was all along. But it wasn't until like she had Reese kind of come and help her recognize that she was able to kind of grow.
Yeah.
And see that.
So did you know your characters' arcs before you started the story, or did you learn their arc as you were writing it?
Yeah. I like to know.
Learned it while I was writing it.
Yeah.
So you would like. Yourself. Yes. I mean, there are points where I definitely am like, well, I want to hit this, or I really do. Like, I have like goals like, okay, well, you know, Emily and Reese need to get together. Like, they're probably going to find each other at this moment, and they're like, their ending is going to be this way. But like some of the stuff, I have no idea what's going to happen. And I know that is a good and bad thing, because it just means that I have to edit a lot more. So it's kind of annoying, but also it's kind of fun through the thing, like, oh wow, this is cool. I'm surprised too.
I believe they just did that. Oh my.
Oh my goodness.
They're just having sex.
Well, the boss is right outside the door.
Well, yeah, and you talk about like, and you mentioned too about her being really like, just like completely in denial of this, like Derek cheating on her. And I just feel like that happens, you know, when you get comfortable in a relationship and whether or not you like love them. Because I've dealt with that where it's like, you have this like these guys where it's like, you know, you'll date them, you love them, and then they turn around and just they're completely terrible. But then everyone else is like, well, yeah, I mean, you didn't know the whole time that they did X, Y, and Z, or maybe not like cheating, but like still it's like, oh yeah, I mean, like he's been always rude to you for a long time.
I think all of us have been guilty of that in our lives, where once you decide that you're going to open up to another person, sometimes we don't realize when unhealthy things start filtrating into our relationships, and we just accept it, because a lot of the times those nasty behaviors, if they started at the very beginning of the relationship and came out full-fledged, we'd never continue the relationship. But after I think as females,
when
often
you're invested sometimes.
As females, once we've decided to be invested in a relationship, we often close that window. And sometimes it does take a new person coming outside into your life or outside forces. Yeah. Like these ladies have saved my butt in that situation before, where they've like called me out like, hey, dude, you're accepting unacceptable. And you have to go, God, why am I doing that?
Well, also, you know, and Emily strikes me as this type, as a person that is a nice, she's nice and would never do something like that to
ruffle
somebody.
Anybody's feathers.
Yeah.
And like most people, you just don't, that's not a behavior that you would do. Therefore, you don't believe that the person you're with and love is going to do
you've
that.
You've been with for years. Yeah.
Yep. And and that's kind of nice to watch her character growth with that and coming to terms with that. Because it's really hard, I think, when you discover those things, to not make it about your value when you realize that someone that you've been investing in has been treating you like crap. It's hard not to take that as a personal value. And I love that.
On your self-worth.
Yeah, on your self-worth. Yeah. And I love how she comes through that.
Yeah, so on that note, I'm just curious, like, for readers, what do you hope that they take away from reading this book, like their journey or their character growth, like when you came to the table? Because a lot of us, you know, when you're writing, you come to writing with the hopes of like conveying some message or something.
The moral of your story.
Yeah. What's the moral of your story?
Well, it's like finding your identity, you know, truly accepting yourself and being and being happy with yourself. Because I feel like this is almost, because I kind of mentioned in, that I lived in Wales for a little while. And I feel like this is almost like my story in a slightly weird, distorted way too, because I was kind of, I had this like not great relationship back at home, and I was in Wales, and then I like met this guy, and I like, maybe I should have stayed. And like, it was this story of like, well, what would have happened if he stayed? Obviously I'm happy I'm here, and but it's like fun to play with that. And it's definitely like this, like, where, what's your identity? And like, are you trying to run away from anything? Like trying to truly accept yourself. That's like the whole, just being happy.
Well, and do you think that your personal assessment, you know, having the experiences that you had in Wales helped you assess that you didn't like the relationship that you had in the US?
Yes.
And then because you were able to, you know, you were honest with yourself, that gave you the opportunity that when you came back to the US, you met your wonderful husband and were able to have the healthy relationship because you had the personal growth.
Yes, no, that's exactly. I went to Wales thinking I was going to come back and be with my, like, my relationship, my guy that then, and yeah, then I found another guy. I like did a lot of self-discovery because I was working on my grandpa's book, but which like also was a memoir about me. And then I was like,
and your roots.
And then I came back here. Yeah. My roots. And I just like completely grew as a person. I was like, I can't, if I go back, I have to go on my own. And then, and I did that. And then I found this wonderful man. We got married in May, and we've been happy, and we have two cats now.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, we all take like experiences, and hopefully we learn and grow from those. That's just part of the journey. But, you know, yeah. I love that you had your character just, you know, have that display.
And that you were vulnerable enough to share your growth experience through your character. So then that way other women who are, you know, kind of at that point in their life where they're just accepting mediocrity in a sense.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the time we don't know. I don't think that we should always be looking for grass is always greener. But I think that the way that you're approaching it, where you're like, okay, are you where you want to be? Who are you? Are you accepting yourself? Are you knowing yourself and loving yourself and saying, what do I want for myself? And that's kind of what I think your character is doing in this and what you've done in your own personal life. And so I feel like it's sharing that journey. Not that we're always, we can always fantasize and the grass is always greener, but that's not what this is for you or for your character. This is about owning yourself, owning your choices, and saying, what is acceptable in my life?
So on that note, I am just curious, was there any scene in particular that was difficult to write or like really emotional or challenging for you?
Do you, made you have to question your growth opportunity for you?
Yeah. So it's going to sound really strange. Well, maybe not, but it was actually the scene when she first, not when they have, when they first have sex, but it's like when they first discover like, oh, I really like this guy, but I can't have sex with you because I'm still Derek. It was that moment. And the funny thing is that scene was like, that's a late add-in, but I was like, no, it needs to be in here. Mm-hmm. But that was almost, there were some ways where it was very easy to write, but very emotionally raw in a sense, because I felt that same feeling of just like this, you want this thing so badly, but like your ethics and values, you know, don't let you do it. But then you find out later, like, no, you could have enjoyed that because that other guy was like scummy.
Yeah.
So it's almost like this. Okay, well then, you know, but it makes that scene even more. Sorry, what?
Why was I being such a decent person to someone who was being so ugly to me?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like
owning yourself.
Well, and I probably, there are so many people who can relate to that piece of the story. I think I love that you added it in.
Yeah, I think it was definitely needed because I wanted to show like this, really this pull and take, like, it can't be that easy to have this relationship, even though they're instantly attracted to each other and they instantly want to be together. But like, you know, so there has to be like this little ebb and flow of that kind of thing. And then when they finally get together, it's like, yes, finally, you know.
Right. They both had something to overcome, actually.
Yeah,
they did.
In order for that.
Isla, they both had people in their lives that were not good for them. Mm-hmm. And they both had to kind of realize that. I don't think either one
of them
understood that.
Completely clueless.
About
well, his own situation that he dug himself.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and exactly, because he was also, I wanted him also to be this almost like, you know, he thought good in everyone. And it's funny because my husband, his ex-wife, you know, I don't think things didn't end very well at the end. And I feel like my husband kind of like didn't understand certain things of why he was being treated certain ways. Yes. It kind of like came to this idea where he was more innocent in the sense of like, just kind of like, why aren't you just explaining? Like, why is it so complicated? It doesn't have to be complicated. And she was kind of like going back and forth. But yeah, so it was almost like that inspiration too. Obviously, I took some huge liberties because she didn't, David's ex did not take him up to a mountain with a knife. Spoilers. And see, that's like a hint of my like horror, like thriller stuff. I was like, well, let's just add it in.
Yeah, this definitely had a thriller undertone.
Yeah,
it.
I
so
loved it.
It was kind of fun though.
It was a mystery as well as a romance. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. I love the cross-genre books. And I think kind of on that note, like there's a little bit of a balance, like as we learn and grow, like maybe we were really optimistic and then we weren't able to see things, like we lost that critical eye, you know, in a lot of romance books, like there is, it's hard to balance like fantasy with reality quite a bit. But how did you find that balance? Did you have to add in more scenes or did you have to kind of work through some things to create that? Because it's definitely there, you know?
Yeah, I did have to add in a few more scenes and flesh out like just a few different characters just to see if like you could, I wanted there to be more foreshadowing and just like going, oh, okay, why did he do this very particular thing? Why did he wake up in this certain area? So I think those little nuggets to get to the point of why are you here with a knife? And I hope I'm not spoiling too much. It is, try not to like give too much away, but yeah, like I think there were some rewrites definitely, but I thought, and that like the foreshadowing really helped with that. And then just being like, well, this, he seems a little bit weird, but like maybe she's okay. But then it like keeps like, I want her to be progressively like getting worse, but also like making it so it doesn't seem that, like it seems bad, but like maybe if you were in his shoes, you'd probably be like, well, okay. Well, but then like, yeah.
The same thing we were talking about, how when you're in an unhealthy relationship, it doesn't begin psycho. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
No, the guy who's going to beat you doesn't give you a black eye on your first date.
It's the frog being put into a pot of cold water and letting it slowly heat up versus thrown into a pot of boiling water.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I like
you
that.
Slow builds.
Yeah.
You
build the slow build of psycho. The slow build of psycho.
Yeah, burn. Where it cooks you.
Burn, baby, burn.
I love it. Yeah, I know. Valerie has a song for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least, at least the voices in my head aren't coming out, just the songs.
Oh, well, at least they come out on tune. My you know, singing voice is not on tune, so I hate to like
I love it. So I'm curious, so a lot of us draw from other books or authors. When you came to the table with this book, I know you got a lot of inspiration just from, you know, your Welsh background. But were there any books that inspired you or even life events? I mean, we've talked a lot about your life events that have inspired you, but other authors or books?
Or styles?
So I've been really trying to kind of expand like how, like what I read and like the different things. I try to get some inspiration. I was doing some romantasy for a while. I mean, this is not really romantasy at all, but like some of like maybe, you know, phrases or like, you know, how like certain like the interactions. So like Quicksilver, I don't know if you read that, but I liked how some of their that's more of like a Grumpy Sunshine. And I do that more in like a later book. But like even just like some of the hot tension sex scenes, like I try to do that. And I'm actually not a romance, but if you ever heard of Ruth Ware, she's a thriller author.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Love her.
So she's amazing. She's an amazing author.
Her favorite genre is more of the thrill. I'm a scaredy cat, so I can't read those things because then I'm like afraid to like leave
Turn
my
off
house.
The life.
Yes.
And she's so good. But the thing is, and I don't want your listeners to think that my story is super scary. I tried not to make it super scary. There's like just one little scene and then it ends happy, so don't worry. But yeah, so Ruth Ware is like, I really love how she writes like some of her scenes and some of that tension. Like, so a lot of books like find like different things, like, you know, their atmosphere, their tension or their interactions. Like those are the things I really like. I also enjoyed some of the sex scenes from Lights Out and Caught Up. I know they are more stalkery. I don't know if you heard those. And they're more like dark romance-y, but I still thought it was kind of fun to bring in some of
Well, I think it made it a little hotter.
Yeah.
Honestly, like I think your flavor with it was appropriate. I thought.
Oh,
so.
Good.
I thought, I thought.
My soup, my weird mix is, it was good. Okay.
It works.
So if for those listening that are interested, I mean, I love that you've given us so many tidbits about your writing journey and experience. What kind of recommendations would you give to somebody who's like, I've always wanted to do this. I just don't know how to get myself started. Like, what tips would you give them?
For writing specifically?
Yeah. Or actually, let's stick to romance genre because it's, you know, each genre has their own, you know, things. But
yeah. Well, with romance, I feel like if you want to be a writer and you want to like, or even a reader, like finding the tropes that really matter to you, because compared to any other genre, tropes are important. Like you need to know if there's going to be grumpy sunshine, a billionaire, if it's going to be an instant love, or if it's going to, you know, one bed, enemies to lovers. Yeah. Like having those, I think, and as a writer being like, okay, well, I'm going to hit these, because that's like, that's your market, right? Those people are, it doesn't matter how many times they read that one thing, they're going to keep reading it. Mm-hmm. So find that the market you like. Yeah. Yeah. And so like, I think that really helps. That also helps with like, if you need like inspiration, because then you can kind of do your own research, like what's popular. Obviously don't copy people, but it's really important to do that market research to see like what readers like or don't like. And if you still write the thing they don't like, at least you know why they don't like it. And you can just be like, no, I'm just doing this anyway. It's for me. But it's good to just be aware of all that. Okay. And then having some kind of writing routine. That would be how I'd suggest.
Are there any like tools or resources that you were drawn to or that you used that you found very helpful?
Well, honestly, communities. I'm pretty basic when it comes to like going online. I do Google Docs, maybe Microsoft Word, and I like just start writing. I like Docs because it's easy to share. I know you can do it with Word, but like you can like share easy and you can do it anywhere. But that's kind of what I do. But like the biggest resource that helps so much is just being really, really active in the writing community and the reading community here. Like anyone in Utah, not too familiar with the different states, but in Utah, we have a huge book community. Like, so I live in Ogden now, which is slightly away from Salt Lake. And we already have like four indie books. It's like three or four indie bookstores, which is insane for like not the main city.
Really nice.
And then Salt Lake has like 10 plus of indie bookstores. And they're all like, they're based. Like, so for me, just like being like, no, I'm going to get out in the world. I'm going to do writing events. I'm going to just like hang out at book clubs. Like, just getting involved with people, that's been like my biggest help.
Yeah. So I love that. So on that note, when people like our listeners like to get a hold of your Celtic Men series or your other writings, like what, how can they do that?
How can they learn so, more about you?
Yeah. So you can go on to either like Last Chapter Press is my publisher and you can buy a book there. You can go on Amazon and get an ebook or print. I also am giving out some ebooks of my, you know, if you want to read Welsh Tides of Change and you want to like a review, I can have an ebook sent over. And
data reader kind of thing.
Like a reviewer, you know, like a early reviewer. And I have other things too, like I mentioned kind of Patreon where I do a lot of bonus scenes and like I try to tailor it to what the viewer like that patron wants. And then also I have like an Instagram that do stuff. So some more books coming up next year. So there's some exciting, like a genie romance, a witch romance. Ooh. So I'm going to get into more romance.
Very fun. Oh, so I love that.
I want you to think about writing a romance that is for older women. I don't feel like there's
a second chance romance.
I'm always looking for romances that are for 50, you know, 45 to 65.
Yeah.
You know, there just aren't a lot, I don't think.
Yeah, no, there aren't. But I
keep looking. That's my genre. I'm like, because that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I have to say my second life romance has been the hottest thing I've ever had in my life. So I'm like, woo woo.
I love
yes.
it.
Can you help me write one? Yeah. Can you help me write one?
The writing group.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
That sounds amazing.
Oh. Yeah, like my poor little sweet husband I don't know how he puts up with me. Like, he is like quiet and cute, and I am so not quiet. And like, he has the filter for both of us.
There you go. Opposites. Amazing. It's the opposites romance.
Yes, I love it. I'm going to write a novel, a story about each one of you. You'll be in the witch book, maybe.
Oh, I love it.
I'm still plotting it. Maybe I'll actually plot this time, but it's going to be like a witch coven. Like, I usually will have synopsis. Ooh, like, I can't. Yes. For my publisher, I have to have some kind of synopsis. So I have some kind of plot at the beginning. I just the beats I don't always have. But it has to be a little group. It's going to be a witch coven sort of thing. So I'm going to talk about the different characters. And there's going to be six novellas. So there'll be a romance in each.
Is each witch going to have a different ability that's their strength? Mm-hmm. And then that plays out in their love story. Oh my gosh, I love it.
I know.
Oh, this is going to be so fun.
That's fun. This is
sexy Care Bears.
Yes.
One of our friends, this was years ago. Mm-hmm. She was really mad at somebody. I can't remember what was going on. And so she collected a bunch of dog poop.
Oh my gosh, I love the story.
In a 5-gallon bucket.
Those gallon bucket.
And this is when she was dating her husband.
She made poop stew. And then she dumped it down
the stairwell, Utah.
In Logan, Utah. It froze. And so the person who woke up the next morning, walked out onto
poo stew.
Frozen poo stew.
Yeah. But the thing that makes it okay is this guy was sexually harassing a ton of women and they couldn't do anything about it because this was a long time ago.
He was their boss.
He was their boss. And so they couldn't afford, none of the women could afford to quit the job.
Right.
And so this was just her now husband was like,
this is what we do.
This is what we do. He's like, we're like, we can't actually do anything to stop it because everyone needs to make their money. But they all were like, justice.
So when she tells a story, I imagine her like a witch stirring this poo stew. Like a cauldron.
Oh, that is amazing.
What I envision in my mind.
I might have to use that.
This is like a power couple too, because it's like, they're like the most, they're like loving, kind people who help everyone in the community, but they also help everyone in the community. And if there's someone who
calls to action for poo stew,
if there's justice that can't be served in a non poo stew way, they will make poo stew.
Right. We love them.
It's amazing. You know, not all heroes wear capes, you know.
Yes. That's right.
Sometimes I think we need to have capes. You know, or no, which
yes, you do.
Brittany made me a superhero cape about 15 years ago.
I did. Did it have V on the back?
I
Valerie?
Think it did. Oh, she made me a superhero cape. Yeah, and she made my daughter a matching one.
Oh, I forgot that I made her a matching one.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So a little I can't wait to see what you bring to this world.
Oh my gosh, I'm super excited. Yeah, we're going to be watching
for sure.
Yes, exactly.
It was just so lovely to talk to you and just get to know you better and get a little bit more backstory with your writing, especially in this book, because it was just, it's a fun read. So I just can't wait to share this with the world and with everyone. And we will definitely, we'll get your Instagram linked on our webpage for our listeners so they can also find you that way.
Yeah.
And then if you want to send us any other ways to, you know.
People can hook us.
Yeah. We're more than happy to post that on www.myperfectromance.com.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Oh, I wanted to ask you one more question. Mm-hmm. Your webpage, because you do write with different names, with different genres and stuff, is your main page under your name or is it under Scarlet? Mm-hmm. And so how, because you do write different genres, how, what is your main tag under your main media?
So my main media is Elizabeth Suggs, author, and that's my horror thriller on Instagram.
Do you want to spell that real quick? Your last name?
Oh, yeah. So it's S as in Sam, U, D as in George, G as in George, S as in Sam.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll share it on there too. So yeah, I mostly, like I had mentioned, is just it's mostly so people don't get mixed up and who don't want to read sex don't accidentally, like my dad. He's like, he's like, Liz, don't you ever let me accidentally stumble upon it.
I'm supporting you when I'm reading your book, but I did not. Too much.
I don't want to think about my daughter that way. Yeah. I don't want to think about
her. I respect that. And you know, it's a marketing thing too, right? Because horror author or readers don't always want steamy romance, and, you know, steamy romance don't always want horror.
Yeah.
I obviously don't care if people know, but it's just like a way to help. But then Scarlett Xavier _ author is my Instagram for the steamy romance.
Okay, cool.
And then I have scarlettxavier.com, and then that will link to my website. I can send you it's like a book funnel link that has my bonus epilogue.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, that'll be excellent.
For the Welsh story. Yeah.
Okay. So readers will have that on your on our site for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. We'll get you all linked up. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. It was lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again. And so everyone, stay tuned and go online and you can find us and you can get links to Miss Scarlett Elizabeth.
I love it. All right. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye. You too. Thanks.
Oh, that's so.